Hello and welcome to a late night episode of the 3-Bid League podcast. As always, I am your host, Tyler, and I am joined right next to me by Sam Basil of A10 Talk, the resident Fordham expert on the site. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. It's good to talk. Good Fordham win today. So, you know, always excited to talk some Fordham hoops.
Yeah, it's been a while now, probably a good 8 hours since the Rams finished that victory off. But just real quick, what was the most impressive thing for you?
I think the most impressive thing for the Rams today was their ability to kind of, you know, not get in their own heads, you know, late in the second half and stay in it and keep fighting. You know, I think a lot of times we've seen Fordham this season, you know, they get down by double digits, they get down by, you know, 10, 15 points, and they just try to chuck up some shots, and it just, they don't connect, and it just ends up, you know, pushing that opponent's lead even further. So they played smart, you know, they really hunkered down on defense, and, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to a guy like Zach Riley. You know what I mean? He played with such, you know, defensive intensity and really drove to the rim. Obviously, he got those three free throws that tied the game. So, you know, keeping their calm and keeping their composure was the biggest key for the Rams to win today.
Yeah, and they had so many good scrappy guys in that game. Ohams obviously is the headliner, puts up a double-double, basically dominates every second that Josh Oduro was off the floor. You mentioned Riley. Pat Kelly tied his career high in minutes and actually had a chance to be a hero. He had a free throw to put the game away. It was his first career college free throw, and he ended up missing it, but the Rams prevailed regardless. Before we go into tomorrow's Davidson game, I don't know if you've heard anything. Darius Quisenberry went back to the locker room about halfway through the second half and then didn't return to the game. There's really been no news about that injury. I don't know if you've heard anything.
So, you know, it's really tough with Darius, right? Honestly, I did not get a chance to see that. They didn't really bring it up in the press conference, but you know, with Darius's knee injury, I think it's always been kind of a day-to-day thing. And you know, we saw him come back towards the end of the regular season, you know, in conference play late. But I think it's kind of, you know, Fordham is in a bit of a do or die situation. And obviously you don't want to, you know, stress anything further that Darius might have. But I think they're kind of taking it in stride, seeing, you know, if our back's against the wall, we'll have Darius play. So I think, you know, tomorrow it'll just have to be a game time decision.
Yeah, and his right knee was heavily wrapped when he came back out. So we'll see. Clearly he's not going to be 100%, but hopefully he's good enough to give it a go, because that'll make tomorrow a lot more entertaining. So going into tomorrow, you go up against the top-seeded Davidson. Davidson took the first two games. The first one, no Ohams, no Quisenberry, and yet Fordham still almost pulled it out at home. The second one, the Rams held tight. They were down 5 at the half and then just got throttled in the second half. So where do you see this one going? What can Fordham do this time to try to adjust things?
I mean, Fordham's going to need to limit their shooters, right? I mean, something that Fordham did really well in that game that they just lost by like 2-3 points to Davidson early on in the year, they did it by shutting down a guy like Foster Lawyer. I mean, obviously we've seen, you know, I'm sure anyone who's following A10 Circles, you know, they know the impact that Foster Lawyer has had on this Davidson team and on this league this season. So, you know, Fordham does really well when they shut down their opponent's best guy, like we saw with Oduro today. So do that. And in their last game, you know, I said they won today, you know, by shutting down Oduro and keeping their composure. And against Davidson, you know, in Davidson, they did not keep that composure. You know, they started getting sloppy. They started, you know, playing kind of a desperation offense, chucking up shots. And as long as they don't do that, as long as they play to their own strengths, get inside, draw fouls, I think they'll have a fine time, you know, going up against the number one seed Wildcats.
All right, so getting inside, that's where they won this game today. Chuba Ohams outplayed Josh Oduro, plain and simple. Can he do it again tomorrow against Luka Brajkovic, the other first-team All-A-10 big man?
I think he can. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, people might not be talking about Chuba a lot because, you know, Fordham as a team is not really one of the top five teams in the conference. But Chuba right now, you know, he finished the regular season top five in the country in rebounding. That's rebounding per game and, you know, just total rebounds, you know, scored throughout the season. He was also tied for fifth in the country in double-doubles. Out of 30 games played this season, Chuba had a double-double in 10 of them. He had a double-double today, 20 points, 16 rebounds against Mason, against Joshua Duro. So, you know, I think as long as, you know, he, the offense kind of drives through him, which is something that Coach Neptune is very comfortable with. You saw Chuba Oham say it today, you know, they're very comfortable just running the ball through him. I think they have a chance.
Yeah, and personally, I would love to see Oham's at his best in this game. We really didn't see it in the one that he played, and obviously we didn't see him at all in the first Davidson matchup. So we mentioned Quisenberry. Maybe he goes, maybe he doesn't. Do you think the Rams have a chance without him?
It's hard to say. You know, it's tough to say. But I think one thing that you've seen with Fordham this year, right, is that they were without Darius Quisenberry for a very long time. And, you know, even though they still finished, you know, 8-10 in conference play, they obviously lost more games than they won. That's not what you want to do. But at the same time, you look at how Fordham adjusted. They adjusted their rotation without Darius. They moved from kind of four guards out and then just Chuba starting in the middle to, you know, Chuba and Abdu Simbila, you know, as kind of a two forward roster, and it's worked really well for them. And even with Darius coming back, you know, they've still stuck to that rotation. So I think it's something that Fordham is used to. But it's really hard to say. You know, yes, they've adjusted, but any game without Darius is kind of a game where you're going in a little bit shorthanded.
Definitely. And I mean, they managed to survive today without him to close out, and it was a grinded out 54-49 game. It probably needs to be that way for Fordham to win regardless tomorrow, but if he's out, it definitely has to be. And well, one thing that really struck me from Kyle Neptune in his presser today was he made it very clear. He cares about great defense, he cares about great rebounding, and I am definitely paraphrasing here because that was, he said this a long time ago, but he can live without scoring, and he lived without scoring today, so we'll see if he can do it tomorrow because it'll be tough to come by in that game.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, yes, he says he can live without scoring. He can live on his defense. But at the same time, you know, Fordham does put up shots. You know what I mean? I mean, like Kim English said today, I mean, Chuba Oham's put up 20 points on 20 shots. Make what you will of that. But, you know, it's one of those things where Fordham likes to bring teams down to their level. Not necessarily down to their level, but bring teams into their own style of play. So as long as Fordham can do that, I think they've got a shot.
All right, what's the most important matchup in this game to you?
Well, you know, now that if Darius Quisenberry is not playing, all right, hypothetically, if Darius Quisenberry plays, I would love to see, you know, him and Foster Lawyer getting into kind of a shootout scenario. I think that'd be super fun. We're starting to see more games in this tournament, you know, move kind of into the higher scoring areas after kind of some, you know, defensive battles early on. So that would be super fun. But I mean, I would really love to see, you know, Chuba and Luka, you know, go, you know, toe to toe in the paint, just like Chuba and Joshua Duro did today. Because I mean, obviously, you know, no matter what, if tomorrow is Fordham's last game, then this is Chuba Oham's last game in a Fordham uniform. You know what I mean? So Chuba, especially with the season that he's having, you know, kind of earning the title as kind of the mayor of Fordham, as a lot of people call him on campus, you know, he's going to want to go out with a bang. So look for Chuba. If Darius is playing, look for him to put on a show. I think there's a lot to be excited for the Rams tomorrow.
So I couldn't agree more. I think it's an easy one. It's the Oham's Brekovic matchup. That's the one that's going to dictate this game. But for me, just a sneaky one. I want to see if Josh Colon Navarro can get into full irritant mode and really disrupt Foster Lawyer's hold on that offense. Lawyer was decent in the first matchup. He was actually hurt the second time around when they played in Davidson, so we didn't get to see that then. But for me, that's going to be something that I have my eye on.
Yeah. So, I mean, Josh Navarro is one of those players where, you know, his style of play is that he focuses more on limiting stopping what you want to do more than executing what his team wants to do. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I mean, it's just a great defensive mindset, you know?
Yeah, and so given that Fordham's the underdog, I'm not going to ask you to make a prediction here, but instead I'm going to ask you, let's look into the crystal ball. Let's say Fordham wins this game. What is one thing that you would say this is definitely going to happen to lead to a win?
They limit defense. They limit their defense. You know, they limit Davidson scoring at the perimeter. They take control of the paint, and, you know, Chuba is the dominant force of this game, single-handedly the dominant force. If the end result is Fordham, you know, taking the win and going to the semifinals.
All right. We'll see what happens tomorrow. I want to close it out with this. We brought you on in December. We talked about the mood around the program. I think things are even better now. Just some stats here. In the last 15 years in the A-10 tournament, Fordham failed to qualify 5 times. It actually happened 5 years in a row. And in the other 10 years, they are 1-10. They're 2-9 because they won that game before the COVID cancellation.
Yeah, so a lot of people this week have been saying that win doesn't count, that win against GW in 2020.
But in the media guide, in the official media guide, it counts, and they are the 2020 A-10 tournament co-champions with George Mason since they both won. But here they are, third win in the tournament in the last 15 years. It's their first quarterfinal appearance since that 15 years ago in 2007. Just what's the excitement level around this Fordham program, whether at the school or even just in New York?
I think it's huge. You know, Fordham is one of those schools where, you know, on campus for a long time, I don't really think there's been much of a buzz around the men's basketball program because, you know, a lot of students there in the past 15 years, you know, haven't seen a team like this. But when you look at, you know, Fordham right now on campus, there's definitely a buzz. They're packing the gym. And you look around New York City, Fordham's one of those schools where, you know, everyone's mom's brother's grandma's is a Fordham alumni. You know what I mean? So I think fans and alumni are really ready to come out of the woodwork and support this team.
It would be great if the Fordham support ratchets up. And tomorrow they have a chance to really, really make this a special season. But things are going great at Fordham right now. This is the best that the program has been at in so many years. And here they are playing an important Friday game. So, Sam, where can everybody find your work?
So you can find me. I'll be tweeting all week for the rest of the weekend of the tournament on at Sam12878. That's my personal Twitter. For all the Fordham games, I'll be on A10 Talk. So A10 Talk on Twitter, A10Talk.com. And for the entire tournament, you know, outside of Fordham, I'll also be covering it on College Hoops Digest. So you can follow updates there at NCAA Hoops Digest and house-enterprise.com.
All right, everybody, go follow Sam's stuff. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, now we're going to flip things over to the wild and wacky Richmond, Rhode Island game. I am joined here by Nick Aaron to talk about the Spiders' victory. Thanks for coming on the show, Nick.
Yeah, thank you for having me, man. I'm glad to finally be on the pod for the first time. Longtime listener. Love what you guys do.
Yeah, and we are always happy to hear that. We appreciate your support. So I guess we just need to start here because I got to this point, I think, 2, maybe 3 different times during the game. Did you ever just kind of get that feeling that this was it for that amazing senior class, that it was all going to end to a pillow fighter?
Yeah, no doubt. The feeling was definitely there multiple times throughout the game today. I mean, the nerves were there before the game. It's hard for Richmond to perform well under expectations that they're going to win the game. But they came out super flat. They've done that before this season. There was definitely some moments at halftime and then early on there in the second half where I was like, this is it. We're going to be the first team to ever lose to a pillow fight team in A-10 tournament history.
Yeah, I mean, in a twisted way, it almost seemed like this – bizarre way that actually would have been almost semi-fitting for it to end. It's been so much heartbreak for this Richmond team. This would have just been one last piece, but alas, the seniors pull it out. It was really a game where the benefit of them having so much experience really felt like it kicked in. So I guess really a big question here, who's your MVP? Burton, Golden, Gilliard—they all made—they all made different plays in different moments.
Yeah, I think it's tough to pick one, but I have to go with Gilliard. I think his overall veteran and his experience just showed his poise down the stretch showed big, especially with a heads-up play there at the end where he was able to knock the ball off of the roadie guy going out of bounds. I don't remember who it was on Rhode Island, but he immediately signaled to the ref, "Take a look at that. You know, look at the replay," and that ended up being a huge moment in the game with like 50 seconds left. Rhodey had to go into fouling late game. It's just like little stuff like that Gilliard picks up on. He's just such a high IQ player. So I have to give the MVP to him. He had a couple late threes, clutch too, and a couple late steals that were clutch as well.
Yeah, and the biggest play to me, they cut the lead to three. Jalen Carey dribbles himself into a corner. And I just said out loud, oh, my God, Gilliard's just taking this ball. He lays down one dribble and immediately just snags it. And then a few moments later, Tyler Burton kicks it out to Gilliard for a three. Game is tied. And at that point, it just kind of felt like the Spiders had seized control. I don't think – I'm pretty certain Rhode Island did not regain the lead after that.
No, after that, Richmond had the lead for the rest, yeah.
But my MVP, actually, I'd go with Grant Golden here. He didn't do as much in the second half as Gilliard did, but he was the guy who just kind of kept them afloat. And, yeah. I mean, plain and simple, Richmond was abysmal in this first half. 35-21 down at halftime. The only thing that was working was just dumping the ball into Golden in the paint and just letting him get buckets. So he just kept them alive.
I totally agree with you. The first half, you know, he was the only – shining moment for the Spiders in the first half, no doubt. I think the biggest thing, the only reason I would give Golden or Gilliard the nod over Golden is Richmond just got bullied on the boards the first half and the second half. I mean, it was just an absolute slaughter on the boards by Rhode Island. I think it was Rhode Island had
45-29.
Yeah, 45-29. I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Which means Richmond actually won it at the end, because at one point the margin got all the way up to 21.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So Richmond actually rebounded extremely well, like the last 3 minutes of the game.
The last 3 minutes, yeah. So that would be the only reason why I would give Gilliard the nod. And I think the other thing that just killed us, and, you know, Grant stepped up big at the end. He hit four clutch free throws. But Richmond, at one point, was 5-for-15 from the stripe. They ended up finishing. Gilliard hit two big free throws. Burton hit some free throws. Golden hit four free throws late. But the whole game, the free throws just absolutely killed Richmond. And KO is not a particularly good free throw shooter, and he got to the line quite a few times, and he was 1-of-6 from the stripe. I mean, that just can't happen, especially if you want to even think about beating a VCU team tomorrow.
Yeah, and the secret key to this game was the fact that Richmond got to the line 33 times, 24 in the second half. And Coach Mooney mentioned after the game that they were trying to keep up the aggressiveness. That's what he preached at halftime. And that's how they did it tonight, because the three-pointer was just not falling. But I don't think we need to spend any more time on this game, because it was kind of wacky. And quite frankly, the first half was just not good basketball.
No, definitely not. Not entertaining at all. Not entertaining at all.
So let's move on to the bigger piece here. And the team that brings the viewers to the pod and the angry tweets to Twitter. We got another version of the – what is? I'm just going to keep calling it the Lumber Liquidators Classic. I don't know who owns it now.
Capital City Classic now.
All right. We'll roll with that. We're in the Capital City for this game tomorrow. Not even a rubber match. VCU winning the first two. One just a total heartbreaker for Richmond at the end. The other just VCU dominant performance. But the Rams took the first two. And now, once again, we're staring at the possibility that this could be it for Gilliard, Golden, KO, Sherrod. This could be their final game. You know that they are going to go at 110, 120% for this one. But they're going to have to fix some stuff strategically. So what do you see as the key for them finally flipping the script this time?
Yeah, you got to set the tone early. I think a huge thing today against Rhode Island, they just came out so flat. The offense, like you said, was just dump it off to Grant. Nobody was moving. There was no off-ball movement, no of the backdoor cuts that, you know, we've been used to seeing this Richmond team do for so long with the Princeton offense. I think the biggest thing moving forward is you got to set the tone tomorrow. You got to bring it to VCU in the first half and hope to either be, you know, in the single digits or even be leading at halftime to even think about going up and getting a win.
Yeah, and I'd like to see – Richmond almost try to use VCU's aggressiveness against them, because once again, this is a benefit of having veteran guys. It's really hard to take the ball off of Jacob Gilliard.
No
it's
doubt.
It's really hard to take the ball off of Tyler Burton or Nick Sherrod.
Even Gustafson bringing it up as well. He's tough beating the press.
Yeah. And so I'd love to see Richmond try to see if they can get VCU to basically go too hard for steals, try to set up the break for themselves. Although Richmond, not exactly a team that loves to run with the geriatrics in that lineup.
No doubt.
But I would love to see if Gilliard can basically just take advantage of his own ability to really never turn the ball over.
And I would even go as far as saying, you know, bring VCU style to them. Richmond ran the press pretty well in the second half, and I think it was a big factor of them getting back into the game against Rhode Island tonight. And they've run the press pretty well with Burton defending the inbound and then essentially trapping with Gilliard, whoever the first ball handler is. And I think, you know, maybe throw VCU off a little bit by bringing a little bit of their taste of their own medicine to them early and see what happens.
All right. And so what do you expect to see from Grant Golden in this game? We've seen different Golden throughout. He's been kind of like swinging the ball around the perimeter Golden most of the year. Tonight he was old classic post-up Golden. What kind of Golden needs to show up tomorrow if they're going to win?
Golden's just going to have to be a tree down low. Going up against Hassan Ward, he's just going to have to be big on defense, and he's going to have to get rebounds. There's no doubt he's going to score at least 12 points tomorrow night. He scores in every time he plays VCU. I showed it tonight. He's going to get buckets. I don't think that's the issue. The issue is on the other side. We need to see Grant be able to have that post defense and protect the rim and then go up and get boards. Burton is going to get rebounds, but Golden's got to also fight for the boards. And I think that'll be the biggest thing for him tomorrow night.
Yeah, you got VCU. Look, they can be vulnerable on the boards. They play Williams at the four. KO's a little bit bigger there. He's a little bit more of a post guy. And when they're starting Ward at center, they're actually a surprisingly mediocre rebounding team.
No doubt.
Because Ward can get pushed around by bigger big men like Golden. But, I mean, rebounding's been an issue for the Spiders throughout the year, and it especially was tonight. So it is tough to bank on that.
And I think the other big thing is Matt Grace coming off the bench. We've seen him late in the season especially put in huge minutes. We saw him make a really big key block tonight that almost was a huge momentum shift in the right direction for Richmond. When Grant or Nate is not on the court, Matt Grace has to continue to play solid minutes like he did tonight and get those hustle stats like the blocks and the rebounds that he got tonight. And I think that'll be the key in the VCU game as well. And he can even knock down a three. You know, he can step out and shoot a three. So they got VCU's going to have to respect the jumper.
Yeah, and that monster Grace block, I think, actually did swing the momentum. And then they hit immediate timeout, and it kind of killed it right back.
Definitely.
But that could have been the biggest play in the game. So, lastly on this, Nick Sherrod only plays 5 minutes tonight. Connor Crabtree, who had basically fallen out of the rotation, he ends up taking on a little bit more of those minutes, and he had a major play himself, a big offensive rebound, getting fouled to kind of start the comeback. Which one of those two guys do you think is more likely to step up tomorrow? Because with how VCU's bench has played of late, with the young guys like Mikhail Brown-Jones and Jaden DeLoach stepping up, and with the Sahonis X factor, Richmond cannot get zero out of their bench wings. One of those two is going to have to be big.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Not to slight Crabtree, he played great tonight, and he was pivotal in the run. It's got to be Sherrod. Sherrod's the veteran. Sherrod's kind of the glue guy for Richmond on the bench, coming off the bench. And when there's no doubt, you know, he showed it this year, hitting five straight threes. He can still light up from deep. He can still be a microwave guy and just, you know, start a huge run for Richmond. So it's got to be Sherrod. He can still play defense too. There's no doubt he's a bull. He's a strong guy. It's just a question of how much he's got left in those legs. I mean, coming off of two torn ACLs is no easy task. The fact that he's even on the court is a big deal. So it's got to be him tomorrow. Crabtree's not there yet, not at Sherrod's level. He played well tonight, but Sherrod's going to have to step up tomorrow off the bench for sure.
All right, and lastly here, because we just did this with Sam Basil, Richmond's going to be an underdog. So I'm not going to put you in the spot of trying to make a prediction here. So rather, I'm going to ask, if Richmond pulls it off, can you think of anything sweeter as a Spiders fan than officially popping VCU's bubble and keeping the NCAA tournament dream alive for all of these seniors at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely not. I'm going to go nuts if we win tomorrow night. it might be a tough Saturday morning for me up here in DC. That's all I can say.
It's going to be for, I think whoever wins this game, it's probably going to be a tough Saturday morning for their fans. Thankfully for them, though, the winner of that game is not going to have to play till 3:30, so plenty of time to get up and get hydrated.
Plenty of time to recover, absolutely. Get some Pedialyte in me.
But, Nick, if people want to see some Richmond thoughts from you, where can they find your Twitter?
They can find me on Twitter. I'm at Nick_Aaron, AARON1. They can find me on Twitter. I'm hopping around the spaces. I'm constantly tweeting all the Richmond games, so they can find me there.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Nick. Everyone, be sure to give him a follow.
All right. Thank you so much, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and thank all you guys for listening. We will be back tomorrow with some more episodes, along as we just keep going through the conference tournament.